Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We've been talking about the Old Testament, people moving with the cloud of God's presence across 40 years of wilderness and eventually into the Promised Land. And the Promised Land being the land of Canaan, which is a type of salvation, not a type of heaven. There were battles to be fought, victories to be won there. There will be no battles in heaven. Praise God, there'll be no more devil, no more sin. It's a wonderful thing to know that we have a wonderful hope set before us, being with Christ forever. But the children of Israel, when they're in the Old Testament, they had to learn to depend on God for everything. They had to depend on Him for bread to eat, and they had to depend on God for water to drink. The necessities of life, they would learn in Canaan's land to depend simply upon those things for God for everything. It was a walk of faith, just as ours is a walk of faith here in this land. Amen. We're dependent upon God. But let's notice the New Testament here that refers to that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. I pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit, just anoint your servant, God, and your people, that we may receive your infallible word, God, that it would talk to our hearts and minister to each need. Here we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. There are two things that I want to deal with today here. Each one of them could be a sermon within itself, but I won't preach a series. I promise I'll just preach one sermon. But bread from heaven and water from the rock, those are the two things I want to deal with this morning. And so this cloud, which was the presence of God, went before Israel in the wilderness in the Old Testament, and they followed the cloud. The cloud moved, they moved. If the cloud stood still, then the people stayed where they were at. And so their existence depended upon them moving with the cloud, following the presence of God. As a pillar of fire by night, a cloud by day, and so they learned to move with the cloud. Amen. And by following the cloud, Israel would learn total dependence upon God for everything, that He was the source of everything, and I can tell you He's still the source of everything. And they would learn to depend on God for bread to eat, water to drink, the necessities of life. They would learn to depend on God for food and clothing and shelter and protection and power over adversaries. And even if we get back to the history of that, we find that that after those 40 years of wandering, their clothes didn't grow threadbare. Amen. Didn't have any going and no clothes shopping. Their sandals didn't wear out. Amen. You can't imagine 40 years without buying a pair of shoes. I won't refer to any particular gender there. But Israel would learn total dependence upon God, that He was the source of everything. And I can tell you, He's still the source of everything. The blessings that we have here in our country, in our nation, upon our family, is something that God has given us. We have plenty to eat here while much of the world starves to death. Most of the world wonders if they're going to eat, and we wonder what we're going to eat. And somehow God holds us responsible to praise Him and worship Him for the blessings that we have. And the Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain, so we can be content the fact that God has supplied our need today. He will supply tomorrow as well. And so all the food, clothing, shelter, protection, even power over their adversaries was guaranteed Israel as they traveled through the wilderness as long as they followed the cloud of God's presence. And today we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the one that we follow today. We can't see the Holy Spirit, but we know He's here. And we must learn to follow Christ. And disciples, simply in the New Testament, they weren't just 12. There are 12 of them that were appointed by Christ, yes. But a disciple is someone who follows the life and the teachings of Christ. And we must learn to listen to His voice through the Scriptures. We must learn to make choices that are godly, not ungodly. And we must learn to live for Him, to live in obedience to His Word. Because, friend, we learn to depend on God. Amen. If we don't learn to depend on God, I can assure you that He will teach you to depend upon Him. And so, we find here, first of all, that Israel was supplied with bread from heaven. And every morning when they got up, there was manna on the ground. Manna means, what is it? Because they didn't know what it was when they first saw it. But it was something that had provided all the nutrients that the body needs. It provided all the minerals the body needs. It provided life for them. They ate bread every day for 40 years. It never failed. No doubt they took for granted many days when they got up and there was manna on the ground waiting for them. And God told them, gather a certain amount each day, just as much as you need for the day. And then when it comes on the looking forward to the Sabbath day, which would be Saturday then, that they would gather twice as much for the Sabbath. And so God supplied them day by day for their daily need. But Christ, or God, the Word of God, tells us that that the bread actually symbolizes the Word of God in some way. Deuteronomy 8:3, so He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna from which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Okay? And so, when God spoke and said there is manna, they had to believe it and they had to follow God, because that's what God said. They would have to learn to be led by God. They would have to learn to move with the cloud, and they would learn. And they would learn when they did not move with the cloud, things did not go well for them. They had enemies they had to conquer, but they couldn't do it in their own strength, so they would be wise to just follow the cloud. There are things, friend, you and I need to listen to God about. We need to listen to Him about everything. But there are things, places we will not ever, things we will not ever overcome unless we learn to be led by God's Spirit. There's places that God wants us to go that we'll never go unless we're led by His Spirit. There's people we will speak to about our faith that will never, those things will never happen unless we're led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we need to be led by God. And we find that Christ is revealed Himself as the bread. One of the great I Am titles in the book of John is I Am the Bread of Life. And so we want to be led by God's Spirit. And so God gives us things to be led by, tells us what to do. God gave 10 commandments to Israel. They were not 10 suggestions. They were 10 commandments. Amen. Commands of Scripture. And you and I must learn by giving God, putting God first, and devoting our best time, our worship, our diligent study of Scripture. This is partaking of Christ, the bread of life, just as they partook of the bread in the wilderness. But this is a spiritual bread, Christ. And Christ is the bread of life. You see, manna was temporary bread, and for a temporary time, for the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And Jesus said in the New Testament, your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. And so, it was not sustaining manna, because it would not produce life, but it would just simply help them physically in their life, their physical body. And the book of John sheds a little more light on Christ being the bread of life, great light. In John chapter 6, verse 53, then Jesus said to them, surely I say unto you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. For whoever eats My flesh and drinks My blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For My flesh is food indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. And there were people that said, this is a hard saying. How can this man give us His flesh to eat and His blood to drink? And so we know that Jesus did not mean the literal sense of that. But He said later, just further down in the Scripture, verse 63, He says, it is a spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So Christ is the bread of life, and the words that He speaks is what gives eternal life to you and I. Praise God. And so we need to partake of that. And so Christ is the bread of life. He's the eternal bread of life. When we partake of him by faith, not in flesh and in blood, literally in the literal sense, but by faith in what he said, then he becomes the bread of life and we live by him and walk with him. My friend, he gives everlasting eternal life and we'll partake of him, his holiness, his presence forever. Glory to the Lamb of God. Not only did the Old Testament saints eat bread in the wilderness, but God provided water from them as well. Water is necessary for life. And so let me just give you this example. Most of your body is liquid. Amen. I can go off on that for a little ways if I want to, but anyway. You know, electricity flows through good conductors of electricity. And water is a wonderful, good conductor of electricity. And so electricity finds the quickest way to ground. That's a principle of electricity. And so if you touch a hot wire with your hand, it's going to go through your body, mostly liquid, and completely to the ground. And you're going to know that it's real, even though you can't see it. I don't know if that proves anything, but I can tell you this. Christ is the living water. And he's what keeps us alive spiritually. He doesn't shock you, but he keeps you alive spiritually. It's necessary for life. And so the physical body can go a month without bread, without something to eat. Most people hadn't tried it. Most Americans haven't. But water is different in the physical body about 3 to 5 days, and you're more than thirsty. Your body begins to lose what it needs to support life. But yet 40 years in the wilderness, in the desert, that yielded no water of its own, God told Moses, you speak to that rock, you smite that rock one time, and water will come out enough for all of the people. This was a whole nation and all of their animals. And all of them had animals. And so they didn't worship them, but they had them. And so Moses struck the rock, water came out, and all of their animals and all the people were satisfied with water from this rock. And here it says this rock followed them in the wilderness. Scholars believe that the rock that came, the water came out of, that rock was visible. It followed them everywhere that they went, and there was water every day from that rock. And so if we get to New Testament, Christ is our rock. He's the rock of our salvation. He's the one that's stable. As a matter of fact, Jesus said his church would be built upon the belief that he's the Christ, the Son of the living God, all-powerful, all-knowing, has all things. Amen. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. My friend, let me ask you this morning, what's your life built upon? Is your life built upon money? Is your life built upon government? Hope not. Is your life built upon right or left, Democrat or Republican? Is your life built on religion, any belief system? Is your life built upon universalism that says that all religions are the same and all lead to heaven? I don't think so. I know so. Amen. It don't. Have to be built upon Christ. And he is a solid rock. We must build our lives upon him. We must build our faith must be in him. The same that God that led Israel 40 years through the wilderness is leading us in this wilderness of sin today. And one day we're going to reach heaven, praise God, and we'll be with him forever. But until then, we need his word. We need to partake of him every day through his word. Amen. Walking with him in prayer and dedication of ourselves to him. Praise the Lord. Jesus preached his famous Sermon on the Mount, Matthew's chapters 5, 6, and 7, those three chapters, greatest sermon ever preached, amen. And Jesus said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he will be like a house that was built upon a rock. And the floods descended, and the floods came, and the house could not be moved because it was built upon a rock. And Jesus said, everyone who does not hear these sayings of mine will be like a foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. I want to tell you something, friend, today. We need to partake of Christ, the bread of life. We need to read His Word. We need to hide His Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. We need to realize what God says He means. What God says happens. He created and brought this world into existence by the Word that He spoke. And when He says, live right, follow me, and follow my words, then we need to believe what He says and follow what He says and partake of the bread of life and of Him, the living water. Praise God. Christ is the rock. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank the same spiritual water. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Praise the Lord. Christ is a rock. He's an unchanging, unshifting foundation. And I know that foundations of homes shift sometimes, some more than others. But you see, this world is continually changing. God's the only one that doesn't change. This world is always changing. It's always shifting. Only God is stable, unchanging, and forever stable. And a life built on Him is going to be a stable life. That doesn't mean there won't be problems. It don't mean there won't be things that you can't help that happen. Amen. But it means that God is solid. The one that you're serving is not going to falter. He's not going to fail. He's not going to give up on you. He's not going to quit on you. He's not going to leave you behind because He doesn't like you as good as He does somebody else. That's humanity. God loves all of us the same. He shows no personal favoritism. I'm glad He doesn't. Amen. And so God is not a shifting foundation. Christ is a rock we can build our life upon. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 6, Jesus, or God's word, says, I am the Lord, I do not change. Praise the Lord. Hebrews, it says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. If He says He's coming again, He's coming again. I don't care what any preacher says. If He says He's coming again, He is coming again. Amen. If He says, come to me, all that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. We can count on it. He will give us rest. Amen. He can help us through life's trials, through life's troubles. There's not anything that you've faced or will face that God hadn't already faced and already walked many people, thousands of people through. He's the same yesterday to forever. You can count on Him, my friend. Put your faith in the living God. Hallelujah. Build your life on Christ. You and I live in an unstable world. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. We live in a world that's always shifting from one idea to another. And the world always has a certain number of things in the advertising world that'll change your life forever. It won't, but they say it will. Man, you drink this drink and it'll change your life forever. Amen, you'll lose weight. Amen. You have to wait. If you'll do this, if you'll use the right paste and the right color, then you'll look 40 years younger. When you're 80, you'll look 40. So, anyway. But life is always shifting and changing from one idea to the other that mankind comes up with, but they never last. But God makes promises that are eternal. If you were to look at the fruit of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, tenderness, merciful, self-control. All of those things are eternal because they're of God. They're fruits of the Spirit. If you compare the fruits of the Spirit and back up a few verses with the works of the flesh, you're going to find total opposites. And God is eternal peace. God is eternal love. God is eternal life. God is eternal patience, kindness, goodness, and holiness. He's eternal. Amen. That's the kind of heaven you're headed for, where God is there and He's eternal and everything about Him is eternal. Fruit of the Spirit is eternal. Praise the Lord. So let's build upon this rock, our faith. Amen. If we build on Christ the rock, our faith will stand, our hope will stand, our eternal life will stand, our eternal dwelling place is sure and certain. Amen. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Or he didn't say, I might prepare a place for you. Or if everything goes all right with me in the heavens here, I might prepare a place for you. He said, I do go to prepare a place for you. Amen. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. Where I am, there you may be also. My friend, we can stand on his word. We can believe what it says. Praise God, because our life is built upon him who is stable. Praise God. We can by faith partake of the bread of life and by faith partake of the living water, which is Christ. From Christ flows continual living water, gives life, keeps like flowing like a river. Praise God. Let me use this for an illustration. The last illustration, if you're worried. And there's a lot of history here, and I can't go into all of it because it's huge. But during the time when there became such a thing as Protestant / Catholic, okay, there was a man, a theologian. He was a Catholic monk named Martin Luther. Somebody asked me what a monk was. I said, I don't know. Find it, call it up on the internet, monkee.com. No, it don't work that way. But Martin Luther was a theologian. He's a Catholic monk, lived in a monastery. But after a while, he began to reading the Word of God, and he decided that some of the practices of the Roman Catholic Church were not right, such as for the selling of indulgences. Amen. And that had to do with paying for forgiveness of sins, and the church was supported that way in that day. Let me tell you something. No human can forgive your sin. It takes God to forgive your sins. It took Christ to die for your sins. It took him rising again from the dead to give you eternal life. And so God did it all. And so Martin Luther, he got tired of the practices of the Catholic Church, and he was reading in the book of Romans, and he finally came up with the idea that man could be justified by faith in Christ alone, not by doing all the things that the Roman Catholic Church at that time were doing. Okay? You know, the selling of indulgences. And the Catholic monks, they would be in their monastery. They tried to live completely holy, separate lives and no sin whatsoever. If they thought a wrong thought, they had a whip, and they'd whip themselves on the back three times for saying a bad word or thinking a bad word or all these kind of, they had all kind of punishments they did to themselves for sins. And they would sell indulgences, you know. If you cuss this week, it'll be $50 and God and I'll forgive you. And it was foolish as that. Okay? So, forgiveness for indulgence or in sins, and the Catholic Church practiced this, and after a while, Martin Luther began to realize, you know, only God can forgive sin. And so, he was excommunicated from the church because he preached the truth, and then began the Protestant movement, to which we are today. And he was excommunicated because he preached that Scripture alone is the sole authority of all faith and practice. He was excommunicated because he preached salvation by grace alone. That means salvation is proof of God's undeserving favor. We are rescued from God's wrath by his grace alone, not by any work we do. He was excommunicated because he preached salvation by faith alone. We are justified by faith in Christ alone, not by the works of the law. He was excommunicated because he preached in Christ alone. Salvation is found in Jesus Christ alone. No one and nothing else can save, not even the Roman Catholic Church. Only Jesus. And he was kicked out of the church, for he preached for the glory of God alone. Salvation is of God and has been accomplished by God for his glory alone. One of the great hymns that came out of that Reformation, still with us today, and those words of that song, I'll spare you not sing it. I'll just say it. Okay, is that all right? Amen. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Hallelujah. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. I don't apologize for getting emotional. It just blesses me to know that we can live on Christ. He is the bread of life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the living water. Amen. You can drink of him in the sense that you can partake of him by faith and his word and believe what he says. My friend, God's word is living and powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword. It reaches, pierces even the division of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and discerns the thought and the intent of the heart. God's word is alive and true and well. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, meaning that it's God-breathed, profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There is no other one, no other word, but partaking of God's word, the bread of life. Amen. That's what we must have to survive spiritually. And the Holy Spirit is compared to water. That's one of the symbols of the Holy Spirit, water. Amen. Jesus said, if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the water that I give you, it shall be like a fountain flowing up into everlasting life. The woman at the well said, sir, give me this water that I may drink. It was revealed to her that he was the living water, is the living water. Praise God. So let's follow Christ. By staying full of God's Spirit, we're following the cloud, as in the Old Testament. We receive the bread from heaven that we need, water from the rock that we need. Praise God to sustain us and to keep us spiritually forever.